Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm so happy you're here. I hope you're happy you're here. This is the day to celebrate. I really felt that as we gather today, just to come with a thankful heart. I know that every day, I'm sure you awaken and you thank God for just that breath that comes into your lungs. And so I would want to pray, and I would like us to just spend a minute to just thank God for His goodness, His provision, His just most of all His presence, right? Amen. I mean, we know that He is here in this building, but we know that He is here in our hearts. And so I will ask you, please stand with me as we pray. Father God, we come before You this morning, Lord. And Lord, it's not just for this moment, Lord, but every second of our lives, Lord. We are thankful for who You are, Lord, and how You meet us as individuals. As each one of us walks through our journey, we just, the things that we face, Lord, the people that we encounter, Lord, You are the one that brings them into our path. You are the ones that walks us through this time, Lord. So we thank You, Lord, for those people that sometimes we don't even realize just because we give them a smile or give them just a hello, how much You have come through us. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You for who You are. We praise You, Lord. And we just, in the name of Jesus, we bless You to just come before the throne of God this morning as we worship, as Pastor brings the word. Just know that You are in holy ground this morning. And thank You in Jesus' name.
This week has been a powerful week for us just because of the fact that God's really been speaking to me, and then I had a really long conversation with my brother, which made this even more amazing, because when you are hearing from the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see that you're one with people around you, because they're kind of hearing some similar things, because God gives everybody the same things, just sometimes at different times. But this song has just been so powerful, a lot because of the reason that those promises are yes and amen in your life already. They really are things that are just, they're waiting on you to stand upon them. He's already given them. They're already placed within your life. It's a gift that He's already given you to take hold of at any moment. But so often, we're the ones who don't take hold of the promise that's supposed to be in our life. When we have things come up in our life, or we have situations happen in our life, we kind of tend to take it on our own way, right? Especially when you're feeling the pressure come on. How many of you can say that when the pressure comes on, you have this feeling of going, oh, I gotta do something. I gotta fix it. God, I don't like this. It's not comfortable for me. But that doesn't matter, because the promises still stand in your life. Regardless of what's happening around you, those promises are there for a reason. Church, can I tell you that this is where we become set apart from the world? This is where you see a difference in the body of Christ and the world. This is where you see a difference between the kingdom and earth. Because we're not meant to function the same ways. We're not meant to do the same things that the world is doing. We're not meant. How many of you know, I can't even open social media right now without seeing kind of, you know, I've really just felt so much empathy because of the hatred just about a subject. It's like, if you don't all agree, then you all hate each other. And that's not how it's meant to be. It's not. But it's also an opportunity for where we can stand and say, I love you. Because God loves you. And regardless of what's happening and what's going on, He still loves you. And He still has hold of every single situation. Every single one. There's going to be more and more things that can continue to happen in the world, and they're going to happen, and they're not always going to be things we like. They're not always going to be things we agree with. They're not always going to be things that we're jumping for joy about. But through it all, the promises still stand.
Amen.
And we're meant to walk in those promises. Whew, come on, this morning. Can you get excited about the fact that when you have struggles, when inflation is happening and you're seeing your bank account go low, you got a God who says, I will provide every need in your life. A God that says, I will lighten the load, not burden you. Because He gives us peace where we see stormy weather. And let me tell you that you begin to see the fruits in your life bear when you see moments in your life come up that you should be so worried about, and you just feel the peace of God in your life. Because you know that regardless of what is happening, regardless of what's going around you, that you got a God who already tells you you are more than a conqueror, that already tells you that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you already have a God that tells you that He will supply in the desert place, that you already have a God. Whew, I was reading a lot this morning about the covenant, and can you know, this week has been so much. I did read a lot about David, but I read a lot about his son too. You know how bad David wanted to build a church for God. He wanted it. But God told him that it would be his son who built the church, that would build the temple. And I just love, because when you read about, when you read in it, His word comes to pass, and Solomon builds the temple, and it becomes this, where he just says, my father wanted this, and you said that his son would build it, and now it's built. And to me, that was just such a powerful thing, because it's the promises within our life. It's the promises within everything that He talks to you about, everything that He gives you, every moment, every situation you're walking in, He will speak to you. If you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, He'll give you revelation, He'll give you transformation, He'll give you every single thing you need. And we are moving towards a time in our life where it's important to not be straddling that line. To not be lukewarm in the things that are happening. You gotta either believe or you're not believing. You're either walking according to the things that God is speaking to you, or you're turning away from them. But there's no in between. There really isn't. That in between will bring so much turmoil in your life. All His promises for you are yes and amen. You are meant to have life more abundantly. You're not meant to just get by. You're not meant to just be existing. He's got so much more for you in everything, in every moment of your life, in every place of your life. He wants to continue to do more. If you're here, He's got more for you. If you're here, He's still got a plan. If you're here, He's still working. You're not done. His promises still stand.
So adding on to what Rebecca said, I mean, so much truth there.
And God is separating us from the old way of doing things, learning by books, learning in our head of all about God and not actually walking it. And God's separating us, the church. Oh. Is that me? That was, well, I should have said this before. That was, you know, God did a great thing, and men did it, and Roe versus Wade was overturned, and that was a miracle. So that, but anyways, going back to, we really need to start listening to this Holy Spirit in us and walking. I've been waiting for God to do the miracle, you know, through us and in us of raising the dead and healing the sick. And it's already in us. We just don't believe. And we just have to walk it out and actually do it. And when God says to do it. So anyways, and I'm not even crying yet, so that's a miracle in itself. So I just want to encourage you, if you read the newspaper, you listen to all these people, you think the world's ending, and it's not. And God is God, and he is a God of new things and new, and he's going to do new things through us. And God is going to get all the glory for this.
Come on. Yeah.
And we just need to lift him up and not listen to all the, you know, don't see the waves like Peter did. Let's just walk past it and walk to Jesus and keep Jesus in our focus. So anyways, and I didn't cry. That's a miracle.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just kept hearing Isaiah 53:5 for any of you that are waiting on him for healing. For it says that by Jesus' stripes, by his wounds, you are healed. So we are going to hold on to that word. And if you're going through struggles, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were put in the furnace, and some of us are in furnaces. I'm testifying now. I was in the furnace this whole week with family being attacked and myself. But greater is he that is in us. Amen. Than he that is in the world. So what did they say about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, there's a fourth person in there. Well, guess what? He is with us. He is with us. And the word says he will never leave us nor forsake us. So we are standing in agreement that no matter what furnace we're in, no matter what the enemy wants to throw at us, he is greater than he that is in the world. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Well, I tell you, Isaiah 54:17 tells us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And you know, it's God does give us all the word as we go through the week. And today, the theme that he was showing me is that we have to not look at circumstances. You know, we have his face here. We have the circumstance right here. We look through what we see to his face, and we look for his direction, and we look for his victory. Too often, we start going through things, and it just seems like everything is going wrong. But I want you to think about this. As you're walking through that, distractions are coming to get you to stop believing. And when you don't have the faith, God can't perform his word. But as long as you start praising him and saying, I'm not looking at what I see, I know God has a greater victory for me. So don't look at circumstances. I tend to get like where I'm clumsy, and I'm, that's not usually the way I am, but you know, I start, okay, Pastor. So, you know, I start hitting things, falling into things. I mean, it's just crazy, but it's just to get my eyes off of the miracle that's coming. So as you see things working harder against you, know that your faith will see you through and that you are going to see the victory. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything make you think, oh, it's not for me. All his word is about you, and it's about his, what he's going to do in your life. And then it's going to be your testimony, because you're going to walk through it and then you're going to share it with somebody else. So don't give up. I encourage you, please don't give up, because your victory is just moments away. The moment you give up is the moment that we're not going to see those things. But you know what? God is greater than anything that we can come that can come against us, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And somebody else is coming up here. Who?
Okay, hello.
Since I've been here, I've been going through, we've been here 2 months, and I have been seeing a cardiologist almost since day one, since we've been here. And every kind of test, trying to find out what is going on with my heart, why is this happening? And 3 different times that I can remember, my hands have been laid on me 3 times. 3 times. I went to my cardiologist appointment this last week, and I'm pretty blown away, really, because every test that came back, that she had so many different tests done on me, and she was very, very concerned. She had thought I had a heart attack, and she thought that some serious things were wrong with my heart. And so my last test I had done, my heart function is 100%. Amen. 100%. So praise be unto Jesus.
Amen.
And I am praising God for this Roe v. Wade. This is a victory for our country. And no, we're not done yet, but wow, what a victory. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, you know who you are, but thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just, wow, I'm just, yeah, blown away. That's all I can say. Thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. He's worthy of your praise. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Don't make him come after it. Amen. Come on. Give it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was that me now? Again? Steve tells me, don't jump, man. You break the mic. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, how's everybody today?
Blessed.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was hoping to see some rain this morning. It was cloudy. Amen. How many are ready for some more rain?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Ready to cool off. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it when we're under a cloud. Amen.
Yes.
Lord, just get to like the children of Israel, right, Pastor John? Cloud by day, fire by night. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I get excited. Come on, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to be in his house. Amen. Hallelujah. God's been speaking some things to me that's kind of a little bit different. And I sense that the Lord is moving us. I mean, you know that God needs to be moving us. It's not good for us to be staying in one place. Amen. I mean, you know, the children of Israel, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Amen. But they were moving. Is that right? God was watching them, and what he heard. I thought some of you guys were going to preach my message this morning, amen? I mean, I go, this is exactly what God's talking about this morning. But God is trying to get a message to his people that says, hey, look, if you'll just trust me, amen? How many know that? He just wants you to trust him. Hallelujah. Don't trust in anybody else. Nothing else will do, amen? Just trust him. Hallelujah. Allow him to lead you and to guide you. Don't get excited. Who cares what everything around you is saying to you? Amen. What you want to hear is him. Is that right? You want to hear him and him alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't think that you're by yourself ever. Is that okay? Never by yourself. God's always with you. He's always watching. He's always watching over you. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Changing Lanes, and actually has probably very little to do with Samuel Jackson and what's that other guy's name? Ben Affleck? I always think of the duck, but I know it's a different spelling, but Ben Affleck,
I mean, Changing Lanes is a cool movie, kind of. Man, there's some cussing in it, and that's not good. But at the end of the movie, there's a change of heart in both of these guys. So, how many of you know that we need to be changed by God? Amen. No matter where you're at, no matter how long you've been serving Him, He's always got something better for you. Can you say amen to that? Can you be expecting something better? Should you be expecting something better? Oh, you should be. Amen. Because we ain't seen nothing yet. How many say amen to that? Amen. We haven't seen, the kingdom of God hasn't been exposed in the earth like ever before, like the way that God wants to expose it. So get ready. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about changing lanes. Years ago, probably in 2013, I think it was, I was, my wife and I were coming back from Tucson. We had both vehicles out because I worked at the mine. She worked at the bank. We had to go to Tucson that night. And on the way back, we stopped back here, picked up the cars, actually not here, but at her bank, picked up her vehicle. And I was following her home. And as I was following her home, got down the freeway, got off the freeway at the Canoe exit and was heading south on the southbound lane on our frontage road. And while I'm traveling behind Rosie, I'm just following her. And all of a sudden, I see her brake lights go on for just a second. And all of a sudden, she changed lanes. She just shot off to the left. And I looked at her car just for a second. And the next thing I know, I slammed into a van that was coming down the wrong way. It was a head-on collision. I was probably doing maybe 40. He was probably doing 75, 80, I don't know. He was a guard that worked here in Green Valley. He was first time on the job, was heading to Green Valley, trying to follow the tracker on his phone. Missed his turn at Continental, so he had to go all the way to Kanoa. No, I'm sorry. Arivaca Road. Yeah, he missed his turn on Kanoa. Went all the way to Arivaca Road. And came around and thought he was getting back up on the freeway. But what he came up the two lane, on the frontage road on the east side of the freeway. And Rosie said she looked at him, she saw him. She couldn't believe what she saw, and then she just darted off into the other lane. I think about that time, he might have figured out that he was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. But it was too late for me. He slammed into me. And his van flipped. I mean, and it was just kind of crazy. I told my pastor at the time, Pastor David Sewell, I said, "Pastor, hey, man, I saw angel's wings." He goes, "Really?" I go, "Well, then the airbag deflated." And I said, "Praise God, man." But how many of you know God still had purpose and a plan for me? His purpose and plan for me was still intact because I served God. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Because you serve God, He's got a purpose and a plan that's intact. Knowing that because you serve Him and He has a purpose and a plan, it gives Him the ability to step in whenever He's needed. How many say amen to that? Get away from God, quit following God, and it opens things up to you where God can't really get to you. How many say amen to that? Oh, He can get to you. But it's safer serving God. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, he has things for you. He's got purpose and plan. And He's going to take you there if you'll let Him. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
So today we're going to talk about changing lanes a little bit. Changing lanes. How many have seen The Chosen? Anybody seen The Chosen in the building? Watch that movie, The Chosen. You're going to see when they first come out, you're going to see all these fish floating around. But then all of a sudden, you'll see one turn white and turn around and start going the other way. Is that okay? That's changing lanes, going a different direction than what the world is going. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. We got better things to do than follow the world. How many say amen to that?
Yep.
Say that to your neighbor. We can't be following the world.
We can't be following the world.
We can't doing what they're doing. God's got bigger things. Amen. They have not seen the technology that God has in store for the kingdom of God. How many say amen to that?
Yes, amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Three of you. You guys forget that I count how many people say, yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I will count. I said, that's how three of you said that. God's got a mighty plan. How many say amen?
Yes, amen.
He's got a plan that's not going to fail. It's going to happen. And you're part of it. Do you understand that? Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Peter was a interesting character. Amen? Yep. Interesting. He's a sailor, a fisherman. A friend of Jesus. An apostle. Hallelujah. I had somebody tell me the other day, Pastor John, said this, you'll like this. Somebody was telling me, you know, that apostles start churches. They go and they start churches. Hallelujah. That must make you an apostle, Pastor. Come on, man. Amen. Come on. Because this wasn't my idea. This was God's idea. Hallelujah. I had to change lanes to get to this. Amen. Yeah, I changed lanes. So let's look at Peter and Cornelius, if you will. I turn to Acts chapter 10. And I know I love to read to you. Let me say amen to that.
Amen.
There, I get one amen out of that. Come on. Come on, Aaron. Hallelujah. One amen. I love to read to you. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might seem a little long, but I'm going to tell you something. Every time the word of God is going out, it's doing something. Amen. Whether you know it, believe it or not, is the word of God will go out and it will accomplish what God wants to do with it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And oh, the joy of the Lord is in his word. Do you know that? Do you understand that his joy comes at the joy that you need for your life? It's in the word. It really is. It's in his presence. It's in him. Hallelujah. Ooh, I don't know if I'm going to get to pray, preach this or not. Hallelujah. Lord. Hallelujah. It's Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devoted man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like this guy already. He gives alms. He gives and gives and gives to the people. And he prays always. I like this guy. Amen. Praise God. Apparently God did too, man. Praise God. So it was about the ninth hour of the day. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Let me just say that to you, say this to you. Nothing that you do for God, it goes unnoticed. God sees everything. How do you say amen? Yeah, come on. He knows when you did that thing that nobody else knows about. He knows. And if you did it for him, oh, he's got a record of it. Amen. Hallelujah. You watch. Now send men to Joppa. Send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devoted soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. I don't know if you know what a tanner is. These are guys that tan hides, that take dead animals and they turn that hide into something they can use, whether it be leather for whatever or water pots or whatever. This is what the tanner did. Tanners in those days were looked at as like the tax collectors. You know how the tax collectors, not a lot of people like tax collectors in Israel. I think not a lot of people like tax collectors in the USA either, do they? No, I'm just kidding. We got to love them, folks. We got to love them. Amen. Got to love it. Amen. But that's kind of the way the tax tanners were looked at. They were kind of looked at in a bad way because they dealt with dead animals. I don't know. The law said you should not touch any dead animal. You guys know that. So tanners were looked in, and they weren't really liked a lot. But here Peter, for whatever reason, maybe he's a friend, but he's staying in the house with Simon the tanner. So and I am at verse 10. Thank you. And he became very hungry. Oh, Peter's on the housetop, and he said, he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." Isn't that cool? Don't you like the way the Holy Spirit just said, "Hey, three guys are looking for you"? Amen?
Amen.
Don't you just like that? Is that a good connection with God?
Yes.
We really need to have this connection that we really can hear the Holy Spirit when he's saying things to us. Amen? We need to cultivate a good connection, if you will. Amen. How are you going to cultivate that good connection? You pray. Talk to him. And expect an answer. Amen?
Amen?
Expect him to talk to you. Ask him questions. Expect for him to give you an answer. Because God wants to communicate with you. You belong to him. Amen? So expect it. Expect for him to say something to you. Don't just go along and say, "Well, I prayed this morning. I did 10 Our Fathers an Apostle Creed." No. Pray. Say, "God, my dog needs a touch." How's that? How you know my dog needs a touch? That's why I said that. Peach is having trouble walking, so I get her up every day and I walk with her a little bit. I'm kind of what do they call that? An administrator for I can't remember the word. I'm not thinking of the word right now, but it's a person that works with somebody and get their legs stronger. What's that called? Therapist. There you go. I'm her early morning therapist. Man, get up. Come on, let's walk. I'll pick her up. She takes a few steps. And then she... poof. Last time we weighed her, she weighed 109 pounds. I can see why she's having a hard time getting herself up off the ground. Amen? So we're trying to get some weight off of her so that she can get herself up. Amen?
Yep.
So in the meantime, I got to walk her. I got to do something with her. My daughter wants me to put her in a swimming pool. I said, "Man, I could see me trying to get her out of a swimming pool. All 109 pounds, like holding a sack of cement, trying to drag that out of a cement. Come on, man. Can you get the picture?" Yeah, anyway. Hallelujah. So just talk to him. Talk to him about all the things you're going through, everything that you need. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. He will answer. He says, "Call upon me in times of trouble, and I will answer you." Amen? I'd rather just as much, in times of trouble, absolutely. But even when there's no trouble, just keep talking to him. Say, "God, you got to talk to me. God, you got to speak to me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. I'm expecting to be led by your Spirit, Lord." Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's keep reading. It says, "Three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down to with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, A just man, one who fears God has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited him in, invited them in and lodged them. And the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. And now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how it is unlawful. Now listen to what Peter is saying. You know how it is unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go into or to go one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came out without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, what reason have you sent for me? He said, you know, I'm not supposed to be in your house. I'm a Jew, and I can't go into the house of a Gentile, basically is what he was saying. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this very hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
I called you here so you can tell us about Jesus. Amen?
Yep.
Okay, we're ready. I get some faces like that when I say, hey, brother, I want you to preach next Sunday. You go, what? How about Wednesday? No, I need 3 days to prepare. I need 5 days to prepare. I need a week. I need 10 days to prepare. I can't get prepared in 2 hours. Are you kidding me? This is where Peter's at. He goes, what? He goes, yeah, we called you here. We got all these people here, all my friends. We want to hear what you got to say. I didn't prepare. I didn't get ready for this. Give me 2 days. I'll be back. No, he didn't do that. Amen? Oh, no, he didn't do that. So don't get on me when I call you like that. Come on. All right, Pastor John. Don't get on me when I say, hey, man, I need you. Day after tomorrow, you're speaking. All right? Because I believe everyone in the house should be speaking. Do you know that? How many believe that? It's not you. It's him that dwells in you. If you'll just learn to release what's within you, oh, man, we won't be able to cut you down. We won't be able to shut you off. Amen?
Right.
Hold on. I got another message. Hold on. I got another message. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Folks, we are designed to pour. We are designed like pictures of whatever, like a picture, not the square picture, the round picture, the rectangular picture that holds things and pours. We're designed to pour. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. He wants you to pour upon other people around you. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's such a great thing. Hallelujah. Talk about fulfilling life. Is allowing the Holy Spirit to pour through you. Hallelujah. So we're all here in the sight of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works his righteousness is accepted by him. Do you see those words?
Amen.
Doesn't matter who you are. If you fear God and work righteousness, if you believe in Christ, he's accepted. You're accepted. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hanged on a tree. Him who, Jesus, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes on him will have remission of sins. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Whoever believes on him, your sins will be washed away. Is that good?
Amen.
Oh, that's a good deal, because the word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? So it's a good deal that when you believe in Jesus, that your sins are washed away forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Your sins have been washed. While Peter was still speaking these words, guess who interrupted the party? The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. That's a good story, amen?
Yeah.
See, Peter wasn't one that was accustomed to being outside of the Jewish circle. Can you say amen to that? He was not used to it. I don't think Peter would have gone over there with his Jewish friends, because he had men from Joppa. Isn't that what the word of God said? They were Jewish, and they were of the circumcision. So when he goes to Cornelius, I don't think Peter would have had it in him to say, "Hey, let's baptize you first, and then we'll see if we can get the Holy Spirit. We'll lay hands on you, let the baptism of the Holy Spirit happen to you." This is one of the rare places where you're going to see that the Holy Spirit came before the baptism of water in the scriptures. Because Peter was not used to this. Peter was not, if you will, really thinking about the Gentiles having a position in salvation. Isn't that crazy? Because Jesus basically stuck to the Israel, is that right? He told the woman, he goes, "Hey, you know," he told the Samaritan woman, he goes, "You know what? It is not fit to give food to the dogs." Called her, basically, she was a Gentile, so she basically called her a dog. But she said something about, "Yes, Lord, right, you got it. But the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall off the table." Jesus said, "Hey, great is your faith, man. Your daughter is healed." Amen? So Peter didn't see a lot of Gentile work. Saw some centurions come in, some Romans. But he wasn't ready. He really wasn't ready he really wasn't thinking about the ministry to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, do you guys remember? I think it's in the book of, it's in the book of Galatians, where it talks about, I think it was Antioch. Peter went to Antioch with Paul and had no problem eating and drinking and fellowshipping with those people of Antioch. But when the Jewish people came, James sent some of the brethren Jewish to Antioch. The Bible says that Peter packed off. He said, oh, no. Okay, I'm going to eat over here with you guys. You guys stay over there. He separated himself. Do you guys remember that? That's what he did. And see, his ministry was to the Gentiles. He really was. God was setting him up to minister to the Gentiles. And then Paul had to get on him and tell him, look, man, you're not doing it right. Because you, not only did you separate yourself, but all the Jews that came from James, they actually separated themselves too. See, because we're leaders. How many say amen? He's a leader, and he did something that was incorrect. Paul corrected it. Told him, you can't do that, bro. God has accepted all. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus. I'm sorry. Not Jesus. I'm sorry. Peter, when he's on the roof, he sees a vision, amen? And it's just like tablecloth that's caught up in four corners, and it's let down from heaven, and when it lands in front of him, it's got all sorts of animals in there. And I would just venture to say that there was right in front of Peter was a great big pig, amen? One pig right there. And he hears the Spirit of God telling Peter, rise, kill it, and eat it. And Peter says something very... No, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. That's his words. Amen?
Yeah.
No. Who's talking to him? The Lord's talking to him. And he says, no, I ain't gonna eat it. So it happened again and again. Amen? You know the Word of God says that by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. Do you know that? A truth be established. Let me give you that scripture. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 13. This will be the third time that I'm coming to you. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Do you use this word right here? Whenever you're looking at the Word of God, do you use it to make a decision whether this is right, or this is wrong? You better use this one. But I'm just saying that to you folks. Listen, whenever God shows you something, tell him, I want another witness to that, God. Another witness. Show me another witness. God has no problem with that. Can you say amen to that? When he might be showing you something that's different than anything else that anybody else is preaching. And if he's showing it to you, the Holy Spirit is showing it to you, you see it, you say, well, God, is this you? Ask him for two or three more witnesses. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm giving you a rule. This is what the Word of God says to do. Jesus told when they were going to stone the lady, and he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, hey, you guys know that the law says by two witnesses anything will be established, right? You know that, right? He says, I am one witness that the Father is in me, and the works that I do is a second witness for you that the Father is in me. So this rule here is a rule that everyone needs to use in the kingdom. Is that okay? By two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. So with Peter was given three witnesses, one, two, three, to try to say, look, what I want you to do is go to the house of a Gentile. Is that okay? Peter was reluctant to go. He really was. But the Holy Spirit said, hey, there's three guys down there looking for you. They're knocking at the door right now. I want you to go with them. They spend the night and he goes. Can I tell you that it is hard to come against the things that you've been taught? God is saying, hey, there are things that you've been taught might not be what I've been trying to get to you. Is that okay? Let me say amen to that. Is that okay? Can I tell you that the Pharisees, when they were watching Jesus, the Word of God, if they had gone to the Word of God, they would have seen that Jesus was falling exactly right into what the Word had said about him. But they were too busy thinking about losing their position, too busy about the political position they had been in, and man, they were all they wanted to do was destroy him. So could it be that the very things you need are the very things that are right in front of you and you just don't get it? Could it be that way? Could we be that way? Folks, we can be that way. The very things you need might be right in front of you, but you're not catching them. Why? Because you're not spending time with God. You're not allowing Him to show you these things. Woo, hallelujah. This is what the Word of God says. Peter was not much of a scholar of God's Word. Peter was a fisherman. Amen? He was in boats most of the day trying to catch fish. And here Isaiah 11:10 says this. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. The Gentiles, who's that? Shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Do you know who the Gentiles are? How many are Jews by nature in here? I mean, you were born a Jewish person. Anybody here? Well, then we're in a house full of Gentiles. How many like it? We're all Gentiles. I'm Hispanic. We're all Gentiles. Aren't you glad that God opened the door to the Gentiles? Aren't you glad? Listen, look, watch it. Here's another scripture. It says this. Isaiah 42, verse 1 says this. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to who? To the Gentiles. That's us. Verse 42, 6 says this. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. You guys are. I hope you'll get excited about some of this. Anyway, somewhere along the line. Isaiah 60, verse 3 says this. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Do you hear that? People will come to you, a Gentile, because of the light that's within you. Oh, God. Hallelujah. That's good news.
Yes.
Glory to God. God's trying to get us to go. But see, like Peter, can I say, Peter had a hard time changing lanes. He really did. It took God three times to say, hey, man, this is what I got for you. He says, the Gentiles, if they believe in me, don't you dare call them what? Common. They're not common. They are your brothers and your sisters, these Gentiles are. Peter, is that right? Don't you dare call them common. Don't you dare, I don't care who you are, speak ill about a brother or a sister, no matter who they are. People go through stuff. How many say amen to that? Don't you dare talk about them and call them anything other than, that's my brother. That's my sister. Hallelujah. She might get a little weird on us, but man, that's my sister. Amen? Praise God. Yeah, that's my brother over there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He don't look much like a brother, but he's a brother. Amen? Hallelujah. He don't act like him, but he's a brother. Amen? Because he will change. Because God is in the business of changing hearts. Hallelujah. But sometimes we as Christians, we don't want to change. Amen? I was asking the Lord. I was telling him, yeah. I said, Lord, am I doing any good? You ever felt like that whenever you're doing something? Is this working? Am I doing any good, Lord? Father, are they hearing me? Lord, nobody's listening to me. The words that I'm speaking, that you're giving me to speak to them, are they hearing them, Lord? Are they hearing them? I said, Lord, I don't think they're hearing me. You know what he said? You can hear. Thank you, Debbie. He said to me, get in line. Bro, that's a word. Do you realize that we will not hear what God is saying to us? He says, get in line. I'm first. Moses is second. Moses is third. Jesus is second. They won't listen. They won't listen. They won't listen. But I'm telling you, God is saying, I'm going to change things. They will listen. Can I just say this to you? Our customary way of thinking is that the devil is doing all these things wrong to us. How many say? Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something, because a lot of times it can be God. There's a lot of times that God would put his hand on you and say, okay, you're going to hear, and I'm going to cause you to hear, but it's going to take something. And see, we get this concept that God only does good things to his children. No, I've been in the woodshed. How many of you have been in a woodshed? Come on, God puts us in the woodshed once in a while because he's got a message to us, and he wants us to change, and he wants us to hear. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. God is serious, folks. He's serious about what he said. His words, they're like gold to that person that treasures them. How many say amen?
Yes.
Huh. His words are not to, there's one place in Psalm where he says, you take my words and you throw them behind your back. Are you kidding me? I won't do that, Lord. I will look at your word and look at your word. I will search. I feel like, see, I've worked in a copper mine. All right, Fred? Debbie? We worked in a copper mine for how long? Yeah, too many years. Between the three of us, I guess we got maybe probably over 140 years, I don't know, with Fred there. Yeah. John, Pastor John, wherever he went. Oh, there he is back there. Got all these. Hey, we dug for copper up there. I feel like a little miner with a pick. Open my Bible and I start digging in my book. Because folks, I want to hear what God is saying. I treasure his word. It is better than anything. I don't care. I mean, hey, give me a Bible. Give me a Bible. No, not your Bible. That's yours. Give me the word of God. What do you want? Maserati or word of God? Give me the word. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll take the word of God. Amen? What do I need a Maserati for? For insurance? No. So people can look at me? I get uncomfortable when people look at me. Like, whatever. Give me a Bible. Give me God's word. Because it's God's word that will strengthen you and build you and show you the way. Amen? But we got to quit being so difficult to change. When God said, stand in line, ooh, it hurt me. I said, I get it, God. I am way down the list of a lot of preachers where God has given messages after message after message after message, and they're feeling like nobody's hearing, nobody's hearing, nobody's hearing. But I believe that God is opening things up. I believe that the word of God is going to go out and it will have the effect that God is by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Look at these scriptures. Look at these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. How many say amen to that? Three. Okay, three folks. Come on now. Yeah, three people. Let the wicked forsake come on, you know what wickedness is. Anything that's contrary to God, forsake it. Let it go. Amen? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. Amen? Hey, ladies can have unrighteous thoughts too. Don't think that this is just for men. Ladies have unrighteous thoughts. Is that okay? Woo. Yeah, don't go there. There's somebody, my wife saying, don't go there, don't go there. So I say, okay. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly what? Pardon. For my thoughts are not your what?
Thoughts.
Nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Look, I don't know about you, but I want to know his thoughts. I don't know about you, but I want to know his ways. Hallelujah. And he says his ways are higher than our ways. Is he baiting us, or is he trying to say, you can't get to my ways? You can't. No. He's just telling, look, I've got a higher way. And if there's a way. Do you know how to get to the higher way? Do you know? His name is Jesus, right? Yeah, but you got to do something. You got to check this out. The next verse is James 4:10. Humble yourselves. come in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. What is humbleness? Hey, sometimes prideful, I guess, if you will, that we will not humble ourselves before God so that he can show us his ways. But he says, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, in his sight, it doesn't have to be men. You do humble yourself in his sight. And the Bible says that he will lift you up. What's he trying to lift you up into? What's he trying to do? He'll lift you up into his thoughts and in his ways because they're higher than you are. But if you humble yourself, so actually in this case, the way to get high is to go low. Amen? How many want to be high? Woo! You're a bunch of drug addicts. Yeah, no, no, I'm just kidding. How many want to be high with God, man? How many want him to raise you high? Lift it up, hallelujah. Oh, come on, hallelujah. That's the way you humble yourself before him, and he will lift you. You'll see it in your everyday life. You humble yourself before him, you'll see your job. The things that you do for your work, God begins to bless your work, and he begins to minister to you. Hallelujah. In your school, Ava. Yeah, he will bless you in your school. Your people will come around and say, man, what's different about you, man? It's Jesus, man. I treasure the word of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. He will lift you up. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, God is coming after your mind. Do you know that? How many know that? You know, there's a thing, you can see it, you can watch it on shows. People don't know God, and there's things on TV they're going to say that Christians will try to brainwash you. Yeah, they'll say that. Christians will try to brainwash you. You know, Christians will try to brainwash you. How many have had somebody tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that? You got to quit doing this or you got to quit doing that? That's not their job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. The Holy Spirit will brainwash you. How many say amen to that? He'll cleanse your mind of the things that are contrary to God so that you can see clearly where you need to go and what you need to do today. Not in the weeks. Today, God wants to speak to you today. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says this. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not, everybody say do not. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's only a few growth scriptures that have, you can see the growth in it, and this is one of them. It says, make yourself a living sacrifice. The Word of God says, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, forget about what you want and go after what I want. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Yeah? Go after what he wants. Take up your cross. He says, so this would be a place where you would be a living sacrifice. You say, okay, God, whatever you want for me, I'll do it. I will do it. And then he says this, but don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is trying to renew and refresh your mind. Let him. Amen? Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to wash your mind. Hallelujah. Oh. God is good at this. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, 22 and 23 says this. As you put off concerning your former conduct. Amen? Quit doing what you're used to doing. the old man that grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Put him off. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you know, for some of you ladies, put away that old woman. Amen? Yeah, but I'm only 21. Yeah, well, put away that old woman. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Guys, I'm only 28, man. I'm still a young man. Yeah, well, put away that old man. That's the old guy that died at the cross. Amen?
Yes.
It says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, the old woman, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in what? The spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's crazy. I love being renewed in the spirit of my mind. I love thinking the things that God is saying to the church. I love it. I love it. He says some things, man. He says, you know, that you might prove what is that perfect will of God. How many know God wants you perfect?
Yep.
He designed you to be perfect. Is that right? Remember, say, well, nobody's perfect. No, well, he designed you to be perfect, and he will take you there. As long as you, that living sacrifice comes in, he'll show you that good will of God. He'll show you his acceptable will for you, and then he'll show you his perfect will. Why? Because you've grown. That's why I say that's a growing scripture. You grow from the good will of God to the acceptable will of God, and now to the perfect will of God, what God wants for you. His plan, his purpose, his design for you personally. Ooh, hallelujah. And when you hit it, oh, you got to know that it's going to be like nothing you ever thought it would be. Beautiful. Joy and peace. Long suffering. Oh, man. All the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. This sounds kind of funny because it's about God talking about husbands love their wives. But check this out. Husbands, love your wives. Amen? You go, what's that got to do with anything? Because he says, just as Christ loved the church. See, God, Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you. Is that right? He says that he might sanctify you and cleanse you with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Is that cool? See, the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. He's bringing, Jesus is washing you and cleansing you, but he can only do it with his word. The Holy Spirit brings his word to you. You got this little thing. You got this little thing that you like to do. But you know God knows about it, but nobody else knows about it, because if anybody else knew about it, you would be super embarrassed. Amen. Guys, okay? Everybody okay, set? Yeah? And I'm going to start calling these things out any minute now. No, I won't. I won't do that. But you got this little thing that you do that you know God's not happy about. And you say, I've tried to get away from it, but I can't. Something about it just keeps pulling me back and pulling me back. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a draw on some of these things. And God is saying today, look, I want you to know that my word says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. See, all those things that are contrary to him, if you'll go to him, the mercy that he has for you because you're his child, and then truth, the word of God will come into your heart, and that word will purge it out of your life. How many say amen to that? You see, God wants to purge you, but you got to allow the word of God to take you there. Hallelujah. Sometimes we go to all these folks and I'm going to go to my pastor and he'll pray for me and get it out of me. God's saying, just come to me. I will purge it out of you. When the Holy Spirit purges it, God will tell you what, it's purged. How many say amen? I was an alcoholic. I couldn't quit drinking. I love my beer. When I eat tacos, like we had today, tacos and beer. How many say amen? Tacos and beer. Come on, Pastor. But tacos and beer. Yeah, I had to have a beer with my tacos. Just made them taste good. Isn't that right, Johnny? Yeah, you can say yeah. tacos and beer. But my problem was I couldn't get away from the alcohol. I couldn't get away from the beer. So I probably had, never mind, I better not say, but I drank and I drank and I knew that I was stuck. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to get away. I can't. I'm going to lose my wife. She's going to divorce me. I can't get away. The Word of God says, by mercy and truth. I said the sinner's prayer in the electric vault at the mine, in the flotation vault. And the man that led me to the Lord said, hey, let me stay here and let me read you some more scriptures. And I couldn't. I had to cry. I was getting ready to cry, and I don't want to cry in front of him. I mean, real men don't cry. How many know that? Yeah. Where's Steve? Come on, brother. Yeah, come on. Where's Pastor John? Come on, man. I love those tears because it's those tears that shows you the heart. Amen. I had to cry. I said, I got to go. He said, no, let me read you some scriptures. I got to go. I almost knocked him down trying to get out of that vault. Went up in the mill driveway, and I'm walking through the mill driveway, and I said, these words came to my mind, and I said, King of kings and Lord of lords. When I said it, it was the Spirit. I know what it is now, but at the time, it felt like this warmth, though. A warm blanket was being poured upon me and wrapped around me. And I said, King of kings and Lord of lords, and it happened. I'm crying. And I said it again, King of kings and Lord of lords. Boom, it kept happening and happening. See, what happened was the King of beers was purged out of my life by the King of kings. And I've never been the same. So what I'm not telling you anything. I know by experience that mercy and truth purge. It will purge you of all those things because God wants you clean. God says, hey, man, let's get you all cleaned up. A glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. Amen? Hallelujah. I tell my wife, hey, you know, we're getting a little older now. You know, there ain't going to be no wrinkles. Amen? There ain't going to be no spots. Amen? Because God says he's purging us. God's purging us. Hallelujah. He's causing us to be what he wants us to be and not what the world thinks we should be. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got to allow him to do that. I sense the Lord. I had this, you know, my people are stubborn. Stiff-necked. Knowing their own way, but not my way. Know that I, the Lord, will lead you and guide you to all that you have been looking for. I will, says the Lord, fulfill my design in you if you will cooperate with me. Hear my spirit, says the Lord. Hear what I'm saying to you. You are my bride. You are that which I paid for by the blood of my son. Know that. No more to be stubborn before God. How many say amen to that? Would you all stand up? I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to look at it in the TPT. It says this. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Ooh. I'm going to read that again. You see, because sometimes you think that it's the devil tearing me down. Is the devil doing all this to me? No. You belong to him, and all things from God are for you. Those things that feel like adversities, they're not. You just got to hold on to what God has told you. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here this morning, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would open our ears to hear, not just today, but every day of our lives, Lord. Lord, as we walk, Lord, let our lives, God, be a time of worship before you. Lord, a time where we communicate with you in an ongoing fashion. Wash, Father God. Wash by the word your people, Father, in a greater way. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, hug somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.